Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in the air. And once again, I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
About 47, I'll say, in this case. Happy to welcome one of our favorite singers. He is truly one of the best. Former Queensryche vocalist, we have Jeff Tate, and he's on to talk about the new Sweet Oblivion album. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Nice to be on your show.
Well, we really appreciate you finding the time for it. You know, we've been listening to you for a very long time, and you know, it's great to be able to finally talk in person, and it's also great to be able to talk about the new Sweet Oblivion album, Relentless, due out April 9th. I really like it. I think it's an exciting sound, especially when it comes to your singing.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
So why don't we just talk about this one, I guess, and the difference between this one and the first one, because I know that you did more writing in this one, like, and of course Aldo Lenobly coming on. How different was the experience for you?
Well, in some ways it was very similar to the last record that I did, called Sweet Oblivion, in that we were all working in separate studios around the world and basically wrote and recorded and mixed the record in the virtual studio, which is, I guess, kind of the 21st century way of doing things now. And I quite liked, I really liked that approach of working in different studios and getting together that way. Although the differences, of course, are that there are different writers, different musicians on each record. And I guess the constant is me. So it was both records were really enjoyable to work on, and I'm looking forward to the third.
Now, as you go through and do these, like, how many songs did you, like, when you wrote the first, or when the first one was being written, how much input did you have on that one? And then in the case of this one, how much more input did you take with this one?
The first one, I think I wrote one song on it, and this one I wrote three songs, and then shared lyrics with Aldo on one song. So I guess a little bit more involvement with this musically, but it was fun to work that way, because there wasn't a lot of pressure on me, you know, to try to get it all done, because so much of it was written ahead of time, you know.
When you're singing, I guess, and especially when you're working on something that somebody else has done, how difficult is it to kind of get into that mindset and into singing the song your way?
Yeah, that really is what takes the longest for me. I don't know how other people do it, but I've never been very good about other people's music, you know? Yeah, that takes the longest for me, is to get into the head of the person that's the writer, you know. And so many times I want to change everything around, and so many writers have a problem with that. So that makes for not such a great working relationship, you know. but other people are very open-minded to what they do, and they're interested in collaborating. And I really had a great time working with Aldo on things with this record, because he was very easy to work with and into the spirit of collaboration and making it all work, you know. I guess he's very, very much open-minded like myself.
One of the things you're certainly known for is the intensity of your performance. Does that take a lot to work up to, or does that kind of come naturally?
Yeah, I guess that's something I just do. I don't really think about that too much. One of the differences with the two records is the first record was recorded in a different city every day. I mean, I was on tour at the time, so I was recording, you know, in hotel rooms and backstage dressing rooms and tour buses and all that. And this record, the new one, I recorded everything pretty much in the same place. I was living in Ireland. My wife and I rented a cottage there, and we were spent the summer in the country, looking over the ocean. It was beautiful. And I just set up my studio there in the house and worked every day. It was great.
Well, and then you also do the travel things as well, which is kind of cool. Like, spend some time with Jeff on the road for a little while. How did that come about?
Oh, you're referring to Backstage Pass.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a company that my wife and I set up a couple of years ago, and it's really fun. It's a basically we take people around on a tour, you know, and show them our section of Italy we're interested in, or we take them to Ireland, or we take them to the vineyards in Germany. We do France. We do a Pacific Northwest tour. We have one that's coming up, I think it's in May in Montana. That's going to be an interesting one. And people sign up for it, come on, and it's usually based around music. We have a lot of musicians that work with us, and there's music every day, every night. We have we take people on sightseeing tours, horseback riding, herding goats through the vineyards in France, truffle hunting in Italy, just all kinds of different things. Things we're interested in doing, and we take people along for the ride. And it's kind of fun for people because a lot of times we have a lot of Americans who've never been to Italy, for example, and they're kind of unsure what to do or where to go. And they sign up with us, and we know all the places to go that are really fun and very interesting and cool and unique. And so they get kind of a unique travel experience that way.
Well, I guess especially right now, I mean, even with the vaccines, things are still so different in the world. So it will be interesting to see what your, you know, newer ones coming up will be like.
Yeah, the whole world's changing pretty radically now. And I think things are swinging towards opening up everywhere now. In fact, we have a tour that's scheduled in June in the UK. So we'll be heading there soon. And gosh, we just played some dates in Florida, and we did a show in the Seattle area, you know, smaller than I would normally play, but, you know, they have limited seating and they have to keep social distancing and that kind of thing. So, you know, we work within the rules and try to make it work for everybody. And I'm just very happy that this horrible time in our world history is coming to a close now, and things are starting to look pretty good.
One of the things I'm sure that everybody is asking you about is whether or not you speak Italian, since there's a song on the album that you sing in that language. Are you fluent in Italian at all?
No, I wish
No?
I was. I had to tell Aldo, I said, look, I really want to sing a song in Italian. And he said, why would you want to do that? And I said, well, because I love it. I love Italy. I go to Italy few times each year. Two of my guitar players that play with me regularly are Italian, who also appear on the album, Walter Cianciuzzi and Dario Parente. And I record in Italy sometimes, and the place has just captured my heart, and I want to do something in Italian. And he wrote this beautiful song called Aria, and gave it to me to sing in Italian. I said, look, you got to tell me honestly, if I'm mispronouncing anything or acting the fool, would you please tell me? I got the two thumbs up, so I guess I did okay.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, sorry. It's one of my favorite songs on the album, you know, and the fact that I enjoy it so much when I don't understand a damn word that's being said, I think is a sign of what a beautiful song was written.
Well, that's the beauty of music, isn't it? That we oftentimes know what is meant by the lyrics or what's being said. And, but the song, you know, affects us in a way. And, you know, even sometimes we make up our own words and we still like the song, you know, excuse me while I this guy,
yeah.
You know, it's famous.
Yes.
I thought that's what it was said, being said, you know, in that song by Hendrix, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like I got Aria into my head, and I know that I was, you know, attempting to kind of sing it to myself, but it was just like, oh, I'm sure that the words are wrong, but that's okay. I'm kind of working with this here. What is it that you think when you read about people and like where they put you in like all-time greatest vocalists and stuff like that? Like, what do you think of that?
I honestly don't know what it is you're talking about.
Well, like just for instance, if you look at Wikipedia, it's like you're on your 14th on Hipparader's list of the 100 greatest metal vocalists of all time and stuff like that. And it's just we all know that you have an amazing voice, so it's kind of like I just wonder, like, what do you think of the people that say that and the fact that it exists like that?
Hipparader. Is that magazine? Is there a magazine called that still?
I don't know. I just happened to see it, and I know that for Martin and I, when we think of the great vocalist, your name definitely comes up.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, Hipparader, to my knowledge, hasn't been around in 20 years, so that's probably an old quote that somebody cut and pasted. Those people that spend a lot of time or too much time on Wikipedia, I guess, doing that, you know. Have you ever gone into Wikipedia and adjusted the information that's there?
I haven't, no, but I know that in some cases it's certainly pretty easy.
Yeah, I guess it's real easy. Like, it's strange to think about that that's the way it works, but I guess anybody can go on there and, you know, just start inputting information in there, whether it's real or not.
Yes. Yeah, I think the trick is to it's an interesting overview. You definitely want to do a little bit more to know that that was actually said, though, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Just a couple of days ago, there was the release of the Another Change music video. What was it like for you shooting a video in COVID? I mean, it's you walking someplace, it's snowy and incredibly beautiful. Wherever you are, it looks beautiful, but what was that experience like for you?
It was freezing cold, and I was miserable. Honestly, video shoots are like that, you know, they're just, I don't know, the whole process is so unnatural. Yeah, I don't know. I just like to, you know, get it over with. Honest.
Are you planning on doing more for this album?
Oh God, I hope not. Oh. Maybe I could have a stand-in or somebody, somebody that's like better looking.
Well, that cuts me and Brett out.
Maybe I could hold a contest, you know, stand in for me on my video, please.
Get the chance to be the fake Jeff Tate.
One of my favorite clips, actually featuring you on YouTube. It's not a music video, but it is a song, "Wish You Were Here." It's from the 2007 All-Star Jam at the Key Club, and it's you and Jack Russell and Janie Lane and Frank Hannon on stage singing the Pink Floyd classic. Do you have any memories of that night, and or of any of your compatriots on stage with you?
I honestly don't. What year was it?
2007.
Oh God, yeah, that's going way back for me to remember that. Was it a special event or somebody's?
Yeah, it was called the All Star Jam, and each of you performed: Janie Lane and Jack Russell and Tesla and Frank Hannon. So you guys at the end, you got together, you jammed the Pink Floyd song "Wish You Were Here," all sang it together. It's a beautiful rendition.
Oh wow. And Janie Lane was in it?
Janie Lane was in it, yes.
Gosh, I have no memory of that. But
No.
that's the curse of getting older, you know.
And also the weird thing about knowing that everything's on the internet nowadays.
Yeah, I have to write everything down or I'm lost, you know. I can't remember.
Do you plan on doing any Sweet Oblivion songs, I guess, on tour, or do you stick mostly to your own stuff, the Operation Mindcrime stuff, and into the Queensrÿche albums?
Well, before COVID hit, I had just begun a couple months of my touring schedule, and we were playing the 30-year anniversary of the Empire album, and so we were playing the album in its entirety, and we also played the Rage for Order album in its entirety. And that tour was going great. Oh my God, it was so fun. We had huge audiences and a lot of momentum, you know, on that tour. And then we came to America and started out, and I think we got into like maybe 4 or 5 weeks of touring in America before the whole thing got shut down because of COVID. So all those shows got, you know, postponed out into the future. And finally, the future is here, and we're going to be starting up touring again. I've got a couple one-off shows in May to kind of get things rolling. And then July, we head to the UK and begin touring in earnest. And we're going to continue where we left off and present the Empire show again for all those dates that we have scheduled out. And right now, I am booked until Christmas of 2023. So after that, perhaps I might do some dates where I'll play some solo music and maybe I'll bring up some Sweet Oblivion tunes at that point, I think. But that's a ways off. I got a little bit of time to think about it.
Yeah, it must be crazy to be so busy, but at the same time, I'm sure it's really good that you're super busy and that people love hearing you and seeing you and stuff like that.
It's very, very humbling, actually, and I'm very grateful that people are interested in the music and coming to the shows. And, you know, we just did some shows last month in Florida, did a couple shows there, and, man, the turnout was fantastic, and the enthusiasm for live music is probably more intense than it was pre-COVID, I think. You know, people getting cooped up and having too much time on their hands, you know, that they're ready to get out and go hear music again.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it must feel amazing for you to actually be able to get back out on stage after really so long off.
Yeah, this is the first time I've had off in many, many years. In fact, 2019, I was home 23 days.
Oh, wow. Did you get a chance to work on some more wine, find some new wines for yourself?
Well, you know, I have my own wine brand.
Yeah.
And it's made in southern Germany. And this is the first year that I have not been there for the harvest, which is really weird for me because I'm a hands-on kind of guy, right? And I'm involved with all the different aspects of the brand. And so, yeah, it's weird for me. But my winemaker partner, Friedhelm, he assures me that this vintage is going to be stellar. So I take his word for it this year. And this is an exceptional year, I think. But the weather was great, you know, all year long. So he says the grape harvest was fantastic, and they have high hopes for the vintage to be exceptional. So looking forward to that. But, yeah, I've had so much time on my hands being home. I got a lot of work done in the studio, though, and I've got lots of projects in the works that hopefully will be coming out, you know, in a year or so.
Clearly, Frontiers has got your back. And they've put a lot of trust in you to, you know, sing this album. And what's it like to work with them?
Frustrating. Honestly, frustrating. Oh, my God. They're so, how do I put it? Well, frustrating in a good way. I mean, I think we have a good relationship. But, you know, those kind of relationships you have with people that you really love what you do together, but the way you do it is so weird and bombastic or crazy or, you know, trying not to be stereotypical, but we all probably can agree that the Italian culture is very passionate mm-hmm. about things.
Yes. Yes. So
a phone call is an affair. You know, it's some time spent communicating and talking. And then, you know, they have ways of doing things that they've been doing it that way for a long time. They have traditions, you know, that need to be respected. And so as an American, we tend to be kind of like pushy and progressive, you know, in a lot of ways. And Frontiers is more traditional, put it that way. So, yeah, we have clashes. But I like what happens when we do clash.
Well, I think
music is awesome.
Yeah, oftentimes a little bit of clashing can help to raise the level, as long as you don't like drive each other too nuts.
Yeah, you have to have this mutual respect, you know, and always rely on that, you know, to and communicate with respect. I think is very important. But yeah, you can. It's definitely common, I think, to have differences of opinion about things.
Now, when it comes to the possibility of a third Sweet Oblivion album, would you want Aldo to be on it, or would you want to go, like, maybe have somebody else be on it and do the majority of the work, like maybe an Alessandro Del Vecchio or something like that?
I don't know. I don't really know. Each one we've done, the two we've done have been very unique and different. Each one is kind of special, you know? So I think that keeping that specialness by working with different people would probably be the order of business, you know? Although I really, really enjoyed working with Aldo. He was fantastic and so easy to work with. And that's a good thing sometimes. You don't always need to clash and struggle.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that's certainly been amazing about Frontiers is the people that they get to put on these albums that are like kind of their musical geniuses are really musical geniuses, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. They have a high level of personnel that they choose from and that work with them. And they have high expectations, too.
Yeah. Serafino certainly seems like he's got a very good eye for talent. And how much does he like kind of oversee the whole Sweet Oblivion project?
I don't really know. I don't really know. I don't know if he's incredibly hands-on every day or if he just comes in once a week and makes sure everybody's doing their job or what. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, it's really nice that you're able to play this music and sing this music, because one of the things that I love about you is the fact that you're willing to go and try all these different things, and I think it's fantastic to be able to hear that. And just the passion at which you perform it is amazing.
Well, thanks. I spent 30-plus years with Queensryche and working with the same people, that when that situation changed, I thought, you know, I'm just going to try to work with a whole bunch of different people and collaborate and try some things I've always wanted to try. And that's what I asked Serafino when I first started working with Frontiers is, you know, I'm interested in branching out and trying different things. So anything that they feel might work for me, please, you know, let me know and put me in touch with people and see if we can make things work, you know.
How much, like, you know, I guess vocal practice do you need on a regular basis? Is it kind of locked in now, or do you still work on it regularly?
Well, I, for one, I guess I'm strange in that I like to sing every day. And when I'm on tour, I take days off at all. Yeah, I like to work every day. I don't like to take days off. And I get stronger as I go. So, and it's like that way when I'm getting ready to do a record, I try to come off a tour into a record, you know, and that way I get a really strong vocal performance that way. Then again, it just depends. Like sometimes you're writing a record and you're writing a song and, man, it just takes you months to get the performances that you want, you know, just because you're not hitting it right. You're not giving it the feel that it needs. Maybe you're not in the right headspace, you know, and that takes time sometimes. And you just have to kind of, you know, keep at it every day till you get there, till you get it what it is you want.
Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating because, you know, we've certainly talked to a lot of singers, and so it's neat to know, you know, everybody's working, you know, what works for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, some people, they can't sing more than two shows before they have to take a day off, you know. Some people do three, take a day off. Some people can sing four. But, yeah, I have to keep going. I need 7 days a week.
It's pretty impressive, all right. But I know we're just about out of time here with you, Jeff, and we certainly appreciate it. We want to give you the chance to tell everybody where they can find you and keep up with all of your music and, of course, Sweet Oblivion.
Well, thank you guys for the interview. Appreciate it, and good luck with your show, and hope to see you on tour.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be great. Thank you very much. Great respect for you and your talents and the music. And thank you very much again. This has been a pleasure.
All right. Take care, guys. See you.
Thanks, Jeff. All the best. All right. Bye now.
Never forget what you've done. Those who